Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday at 7 o'clock and then online at WHLC. I'm Steve Day. And I want to check in on how you did with your run in Tallahassee with the 8K.
I reflected on that run all during the week, and I came to the conclusion I'm the runner on duty for the Atlanta Track Club. My colleagues from age 75 to 79. I run with the Atlanta Track Club on a national race circuit. We have unbelievable accomplished runners who were NCAA champions and so forth. I'm always there at the race, and a lot of times I'm on the bench or the B team, but there are times when they need a runner on the first team because somebody's injured or didn't show up. Well, I'm always there, and that was the case with the National Cross Country 8K Championships in Tallahassee. This past weekend.
Taylor, you're up.
I'm up. We had a field of 18 runners from track clubs across the United States that just had the World Cross Country Championships the day before, so that was an unbelievably challenging course. I finished out of 18, I finished 11th. Disappointing in some respects, but in other respects, I did my job, finished the race for the team. We didn't finish in the top three. There's always another race, Steve, so I'll be there.
Outstanding. A runner on duty.
Yes, like mayor on duty. I will just say this, Steve. After 12 years, I've always embraced the idea I'm always on duty. I do my best, so that's all we can ask of people. Be there and do your best.
Thank you, Doctor. We had the workshop, the Highlands Food and Wine Festival. We had, as you had said before we started, a sobering report from the police chief.
We did. We had a report from Chief Holland, and then our assistant fire chief, Captain Forrester, were there. What they saw is safety and security problems at the last main event at the Food and Wine Festival. Pretty much documented with photographs and so forth what their concerns are about the size of the crowd, emergency exits, and excessive over-serving of alcohol. We also had merchants, citizens, and I opened the floor and asked for their feedback. Some of the merchants were very positive about the event and how it was economic benefit. On the other hand, there were some other merchants that said it hurt their business. Jack Austin of Highlands Festival, Inc. was there. He's agreed to release a market study that Western Carolina did that they had commissioned, and we'll hopefully be getting that report and sharing it with the public. I think it will paint a picture of some of the pros and cons. The center of concern is closing down Main Street for the main event. And we will continue that discussion. And the board, I'm anticipating very soon, will make a decision on whether we do some changes on the way that event is set up and takes place, or does it need to be relocated, or does it need to be eliminated altogether?
Yeah, I've been to several. This one I missed. I mean, everybody have fun, but let's be safe. Duke Energy and amending the Duke contract. And our representative, Lewis Davis, he gave us some insight on what to do.
You have to have an expert to manage it and make sure that everything is being done according to the contract from our perspective. So we have Lewis Davis of UTEC as our representative. There is Richard Knight, who is the representative for Duke Energy. Both of them were at the meeting. Duke Energy is merging two companies, Progress Energy, which is a Duke company, and Duke Energy of the Carolinas. They're having to go through a review at the state and especially at the federal level, FERC, in order to do this. And FERC has told Duke all the wholesale customers that they have. Our representative, Lewis Davis, had studied the contract and says that he thinks it will be positive for the town. Richard Knight of Duke said he believes it will be positive for the town in that down the road, once this merger occurs, there will be some rebates of expenses that will come back to the town. So we're not going to have to pay more money, and hopefully we will get some money back because of the merger. We also have given the contract to Nick Tosco, our attorney, and I'm anticipating that at our next board meeting, the board will approve the amendments to the contract. There is a non-disclosure agreement about the whole merger. All the customers of Duke have entered part of our current contract. So we won't be sharing that with the public, although Richard Knight lets us know once the merger is approved by the federal people, then yes, that will be a public document. From all indications, it will be a positive thing for us to agree to the amendments of the contract with Duke.
The nonprofits have been in a consortium meeting, and you were pointing out that Leslie Manning made a presentation about what to do in case of emergencies.
Yeah. Leslie Manning of Pisgah had been coordinating meetings with the nonprofit and the faith-based community organizations in the town. These groups have gotten together and said, how can we coordinate and pool our efforts in a real major state of emergency to serve the people of the plateau? Part of that would be using the community center as a staging and headquarters area. We have a generator, we have a state-of-the-art kitchen, we have so many resources there, and it would be centrally located. The board voted to allow them to use that facility in the case of an emergency. What we learned from the last event, Hurricane Helene, is that we need the nonprofits to come in and help administer and aid people that have been impacted by that event. So this is a win-win for everyone. Leslie says that they'll be bringing back to the board very soon, maybe next month, a written plan about how they would activate this program. I'm glad that we now have a coordinated response.
Jim Tate and Jeff Weller have some new responsibilities with the MCTDC and the MCEDC.
Jim will be our representative to the Tourist Development Committee, and Jeff will be the representative for the town to the county's Economic Development Commission.
There was a property on 106, Futrell Construction, needed some kind of a go-ahead with it, or what?
Yes, they are asking for a rezoning of a property on Dillard Road. It's next to Dusty's Superette. It's currently a residential zone. But Dusty's is B3, the shopping center across the street is B3, as well as other properties. They're asking for a rezoning of that property. The board voted at this meeting to send that request to the planning board for their review and recommendation, and then from there, the board will make a decision.
Well, I can imagine the discussion on this. The town board commission approved a procedure on how to appoint a commissioner. Is you going to appoint it, or will there be a ballot choice, and what happened?
We have to make an appointment to the unexpired term of the former commissioner, Buzz Dotson. Our attorney had developed a memo concerning what are our options, and we went over that last Thursday night at the meeting. Wanted to say one thing. There was a kind of a rumor or idea out in the community saying the town has to make this decision in 60 days, or the clerk of court of Macon County will appoint a person. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. How could the clerk of Macon County know who's qualified to be a commissioner in the town of Highlands? That didn't ring true. And our town attorney, who had done the research on this and consulted with one of his colleagues at Pointer and Spruill, who used to be the attorney for the North Carolina Board of Elections, helped us understand that that's not correct. There's no 60-day requirement for municipalities. If you are a county and have a vacancy, the 60-day and the appointment from the clerk of court applies, but not for municipalities. In fact, we can take our time in making this appointment. With that said, we do not want to drag our feet on this, but we don't want to feel rushed either. We discussed what are our two options. One option would have been that we could just out of the blue put someone up for consideration. I could call a vote, and if the majority of the board voted on that person, they would be the new commissioner. We did not do that. We want the second option to be followed, and that is it's called a nomination ballot procedure. Our town attorney had a number of application forms that other towns in North Carolina have used and come up with an application form for those people who would be interested in serving as a town commissioner.
You're going to create one.
We'll create one. We will run it by the commissioners. And once that's all in order, We will post that application form on the town website. We will have it available at the town hall, and then we'll have a time period for people to come and fill out the application and apply to be considered for that appointment. You have to be a full-time resident and voter in the town. It will ask your experience and background, what their views are on the town, what their experience have been. Please do not go to the town hall tomorrow or day after tomorrow because we have the King holiday. We will announce when it is ready and what the procedures are. We would then take all the people who have applied. It will be a public process. The newspapers might want to post the responses of the applicants. As I pointed out, they might contact the applicants and ask further questions. Instead of having the voters vote on this, we don't have an election coming up until 27. The town board of commissioners become, if you will, the electors who will make that decision. I think it's going to be a good process, as best we can do, given the circumstances that we're 2 years away from having a municipal election.
And it lets that process, lets the citizens know a little bit about who is going to be on the board.
And I made the comment, and this is always the case.
The Force Main Sewer Project, we got a bid, and the bid was lower than what we thought.
Steve, and we were just breathing a sigh of relief. Let me explain to you what the Force Main Sewer Line is. It's on the Franklin Road. It's the main line that carries the effluent and everything to the sewer plant. It's made out of ductile iron, which is supposed to last for 50 years. What we discovered was, though, that because of the topography, there were these air pockets in certain joints and areas of the line that would trap gas. And that gas would eat into the iron through the protective coating. And it caused breaches in the line. And about 18 months or 2 years ago, we had a breach. Some of the sewage wound up in Mirror Lake. We had an engineering company do a study and evaluation. They did that study. They came up with a plan to make the repairs. The estimate was that it could cost as much as $1.4 million, which meant we'd have to borrow the money and go through the local government commission. It was discovered there were some alternative ways of making those repairs that wouldn't be as costly as first anticipated. So the bid came in for, I believe, around $276,000. The good news is that we'd already started holding back money in anticipation of these kind of things, so we can fund that immediately without having to borrow money. This will be a traffic disruption as they work on the Franklin Road, and it's better to do it now during the winter months where the traffic volume is low versus waiting until the season of tourists, which would be a mess. From the initial estimations, we thought we were going to have to replace large sections of that sewer line. And after the engineering study and all is said and done, they discovered that there's certain areas that can just be replaced with another material. And then they're going to put pressure release valves on them. So if gas does build up, it releases. So we don't have that problem again.
Commissioner Weller, the playground funds, have enough?
There's a process with the guaranteed minimal price that the contractor has to provide where you have to do some value engineering. And we're now at a point where the amount of money that we have, the 1.6, and the cost, they're all about to come together. And when they do come together, and we anticipate that within about a week or something, order will be given to proceed with building the playground.
I was being facetious, but if we're going to have to, you know, get some more money, and you reply, well, Brian Suter's probably just a phone call away.
That's right. If you want to keep contributing to the playground, I know that Brian Steeler would love to talk to you. And what that does, it gives us contingencies, and it lets us add things that maybe we've had to reduce or cut back. We can enrich this whole project. So if you'd like to contribute, I know Brian still wants to talk to you.
Bryson's demolition of the B of A building. I'm passing by just a couple of times and took a couple of angles there. It's halfway done?
It's more than halfway. We think that in the next few days it will be completely done. And then they have the contract to demolish the playhouse, and they have already been staging that project. All the power and utilities have now been cut to the playhouse. in the coming weeks, and I can't be definitive on this, but we are anticipating that the Bill Soda Shop property on the corner of Main and 4th, in order to, of course, starting the construction of a new facility, that would be an essential thing. And again, we want those kind of real disruptive types of activities to occur during the winter months, so we minimize the disruption during the tourist season. But Steve, I'll just tell you this. I know some people are being shocked by the demolishing of the Bank of America building, the Playhouse, and now this. I know that's disruptive. It's concerning to people. Sometimes you have to do these kind of things to move forward with some new structures and new ideas. I look back on my 25 years here. We've had buildings demolished and new buildings put up. And invariably, a lot of those new buildings come a part of the business structure of the town and contribute to the appearance of the town. I know this is going to be a difficult period, but we'll get through it and move forward.
Well, we'll close the program with a closed session. You had a closed session, and what was that about? Or what can you say about it?
I can read what it was.
Okay.
According to the North Carolina General Statutes, what we did, we consulted with the town attorney, considered and gave instructions to him concerning the handling of a claim against the town. So, you know, we have a town attorney that stays very busy. There are a lot of critical issues that we have to address, and we will always want to have the best legal advice so we do the right thing in making a decision.
The next few days, next couple of weeks, I see some cold temperatures, but it's going to be cold for a little while.
That's right. And we had those little snow flurries. I was thinking about this. We haven't really had a major snowstorm in about 3 years. I remember one of the last ones I worried about, they were predict 20 or 24 inches of snow. And I said, oh my gosh, that could be like the blizzard in the 90s. But we only got about 12 or 16 inches. But we haven't had any major snows for such a long period. And by a major snow, 4 to 8 inches, that used to be just kind of expected in Highlands, and we're not getting that, but we are getting a lot of cold periods in the town. And I, for one, at 77, I don't handle the cold like I used to. It seems to go right through me. We'll get through that. Yes, we're going through this kind of cold and dormant period, but then we have this beautiful mountain spring to look forward to.